If You Must Mourn, My Love, written by We Are All Made of Stardust and read by Fens and Marshes as a gift for Starlit Wish for the Summer Podfix Swap 2021. Summary: Phil's a Minecraft, the universe, and the lengths the ones who love him will go to.
Look inside of me and see that I am not afraid to walk inside the void like a kid inside a cave. Discovering the patterns of my soul and where it's placed. I've been mapping many caverns, but it still feels like a maze.
They met when he was a young man and she was pretending to be a young woman. There was a soft recognition the day they met. Less love at first sight and more, oh, hello. More, oh, it's going to be you, isn't it? I don't love you yet, but I am going to. She was lovely and bright and loved the world and loved to laugh and loved him. She liked to braid his hair and stand in the rain with bare feet, and if an animal was hurting, she would help it, and she didn't want to pick flowers because she'd rather see them grow. He tucked feathers behind her ears instead and let her pull him by the hand and listened to the music of her voice and never wanted to stop. They loved each other, and that was the only constant for them, since neither one felt much like settling. They travelled and they loved each other, and that was all he needed, the rush of wind and the feeling of dirt under his feet and her hand in his. He watched her sometimes when she thought he wasn't looking, when she looked so melancholy sometimes, when she held animals as they died and whispered things he couldn't hear, when she gazed up at the stars and they were reflected in her eyes. I'll go and catch one for you, he offered once, sitting beside her. She smiled at him, and he thought for a moment that he'd never seen anything so beautiful as her, hair tossed behind her shoulders and mud on the bottom of her feet. You will, huh? Of course. She leaned over to kiss his cheek. And if I asked you for the moon? Then the moon you would receive. She grinned, warm and fond. Maybe next time. He stretched out, uncaring of the cool dirt, and she ran a hand over the wing that flopped across her legs, working her fingers into the feathers. His feathers shivered at the feeling. I love you, he tried to say, but it came out as, marry me? She blinked. For once, he'd managed to surprise her. Are you sure? I've never been more sure of anything. She stared at him for another long, long moment, and there was a look in her eyes that he couldn't quite read, but that reminded him of the times when she'd go out for the day and come back worn and tired, and how sometimes she'd look at him with an aching sadness like she could see his soul, and he tried to say without speaking, I don't care what you're carrying. It must have convinced her, because she was smiling, beautiful even as her eyes were glossy. Okay, Starboy. He reached up to cup her face, wrapping his wings around her like he could block out the rest of the universe, and kissed the tears from her cheeks before they could even fall. Oh, Kristen said as they were traveling, turning off the path. Phil, wait. He stopped, and she crouched at the base of a tree, cupping something small in her hands. She stood, and he looked at it, a raggedy bird with black feathers, small enough that it couldn't possibly be an adult, peeping dejectedly. It's just a baby, she said, hushed, running a fingertip over its head. And it's hurt. We have to save it. How do you know its parents aren't coming back? Phil asked. They're not. He raised an eyebrow at her, but sighed. All right, how do we help it? And so they adopted a crow. It was an odd bird, almost terrifyingly intelligent, and with more attitude than he would have thought it capable of. It seemingly preferred Kristen, but spent most of its time with Phil. She claimed it was trying to keep him out of trouble, and he was inclined to agree. It was bold and sometimes silly, and liked to perch on Kristen's shoulder while they walked, but when it was raining, it always demanded that Phil hold it. An odd companion, to be sure, but not a bad one. Sometimes, when she thought he was asleep, Phil could hear Kristen speaking to it. Never words that he could understand, words that blurred and slipped if he tried to focus on them, but clearly to the crow. It seemed serious somehow, more serious than whenever she or Phil would address it during the day. She spoke to it like a person, waiting for its response. Sometimes she laughed. He didn't ask. It was just one of her things, like how she seemed to see straight to a person's soul, or looked like a child of the very universe when the light hit just right. It didn't matter anyway. She'd tell him, or she wouldn't, and either way, he would love her forever. They were an odd little family, but a good one. They kept travelling, time marked more by the growth of the crow, from a tattered fledgling to a scrappy adolescent to an adult with glossy feathers, than the passing of years. It was good. For a while, he thought it might even last forever. He didn't see the baby zombie coming. It had come upon him out of nowhere, too late to do anything about it, and he'd crumpled, wings crushed uncomfortably beneath him and something sick running up his veins from where it had attacked. I'm going to die, he thought dizzily, staring up at the sky. I'm going to die. He drifted for a while, on the edge of death, terror fading to background noise. He was jolted back to consciousness by a scream that pierced the air and shook the trees, the most awful sound he had ever heard, rage and despair and heartbreak. And then Kristen dropped to her knees at his side, face streaked with tears, hauling him into her lap even though it folded his wings awkwardly against his back. No, she breathed. Not this, anything but this. He groaned, the noise tearing itself from his throat. It hurt. Felt like he was being unmade, a dull ache building in his veins in every part of his body. He had minutes, maybe. There was rot in his heart now. No, Kristen said, and glared at the sky, and she looked a mess with her eyes red and face wet with tears and hair tangled, and she was still the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He reached up with a hand that shook to touch her cheek. And she held it to her face. I won't do this, she screamed to the sky, and the universe shifted. Filza blinked. Everything seemed off. Just a shade brighter, a shade realer. The sky looked like a painting with thousands of stars he had never seen, a scattering of purple and blue and black, and Kristen was. Her eyes held galaxies in them, shifting and fathomless and mind-bending, and there was nothing wrong with the rest of her appearance, but she seemed somehow more, and there were spirits in the palms of her hands, and a crown of wither roses on her head, and a humming surrounding her, and if Phil had been in his right mind, it would have driven him mad. I won't. She said, and her voice was her voice, but it held a thousand other sounds, the rush of wind and the sensation of falling, and the caw of a thousand crows and the sound of lightning hitting the ground. You can't make me! And the universe spoke. This is what you chose when you chose to love a mortal. You can't make me, she said stubbornly. You choose when all of them go, but I have to be the one to bring them, and I won't. Not him.
It is his fate, Death.
I won't take him, she shouted to the stars. I won't. You can't make me take him. There was a sigh somehow.
We have afforded you plenty of exceptions already with your birds.
I have never asked you for a human, Kristen said, stroking a hand over his hair when he made another noise of pain. Not once. I have watched as you cut so many lives short, and not even once have I protested. Allow me this one.
And what makes him worthy of it?
He's my husband, she screamed. He's good and kind, and I love him.
Kristen, the universe said, and it was gentler. It is not your place to deny his fate.
I make your fates possible, she retorted. I am death. It can't happen without me. For a moment, there was silence. Please, she whispered, voice breaking. I can't. I thought I knew what I was getting into, but I can't. I can't subject him to that. He doesn't deserve it.
None of them do.
I know. Just please. Please, if you have any love for me at all, just give me this. The wind whistled through the trees for a moment, cold, and it set his entire body to shivering. Kristen shushed him, pressed kisses to his eyelids, dragged her fingers through his feathers.
There must be balance,
the universe said, finally.
You will lose something too.
I understand.
He will be your angel, your hand in the mortal realm. We will heal his wound. And he will carry out your will and ours. He will live.
And in return? Kristen's voice trembled.
You will return to your realm. He will remain here. You will no longer pretend to be immortal. You will no longer live at his side. And you will no longer live in this world.
Everything seemed to freeze for a second. She made a little choked noise, and Phil reached up, straining to run his fingertips through her hair.
This is as much as we can offer you, Death.
He'll live? She asked, mouth firming.
He will live.
Is it forever? The universe sighed.
Perhaps if his work is good, and you perform your duties well, one day he may be returned to you.
Okay, she whispered. Okay, I thank you.
This is the final exception we can allow you,
the universe warned.
You may choose to give everything up for one man. Your birds will remain. After this, there will be no more second chances.
We must do as fate wills us, she murmured, looking down. I understand. She breathed and raised her head. Heal him and let us say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye, she repeated, stubborn until the end. I need time to explain to him.
Very well.
Filza was dying, and then he wasn't anymore. He gasped at the sudden lack of pain. Kristen smiled at him, tears rolling down her face, framed by starlight, and Phil dragged himself upright to bury his face in her hair, trembling, and clung to her with all of the strength he possessed. Hey, Starboy. She whispered, cupping her face in her hands. I'm sorry I never told you. Shh, he said. We don't have time for apologies now. She rested their foreheads together. I know, I love you, Phil whispered. Everything else is secondary. Yeah, she choked out. Yeah, we'll see each other again. We will. I'll send you letters, she offered. My crows will carry them. He laughed a little bit at that. We'll write to each other. It'll be all right, Kristen. He brought his wings around her, and she ran a gentle hand over the feathers. For a moment, they just breathed. I need to explain what it means, she said eventually, to be the angel of death. He hummed, and she took a deep breath before she spoke. I'm the keeper of souls, of everything that once was and is no more. You'll be in charge of crossings, of bringing them to me. Well, not directly. You're just taking them to the train station. He blinked. What's a train? She laughed, and it was the sound of sunrise and shattering glass. You'll see. Maybe I'll meet you there sometimes. That would be nice. She lifted her head and called, Love? There was a rush of wind and the crow arrived, slotting through a gap in Phil's wing so that it could perch on Kristen's knee. Hey, lady, what do you need? She smiled at it, running a finger down its beak. I know I promised I'd take you home with me someday, but please, will you look after Phil? Phil blinked. Sorry, you can talk? You can listen? The crow retorted. Kristen hushed it. It's complicated, love. He's an angel now, and he needs someone here. It cooed, hopping from foot to foot. Idiot man does need someone to make sure he doesn't do anything too stupid. Hey, Phil protested half-heartedly. Love just clucked its beak together in a silent laugh. Thank you, love, Kristen murmured, leaning forwards to kiss its head. It pressed into her hands and didn't speak further. The sky hummed.
Death, it's time.
Kristen raised her hands. In them, a crown of wither roses appeared, matching her own. She rested it on his head, gentle and careful, and it was somehow warm. She pressed a kiss to his brow, and he caught her palms as she stood, holding her knuckles to her forehead for a moment. I'll see you again, Kristen said. Then she turned and walked away into the shadowed woods, and Phil felt the moment she stepped off one plane and into another like a sudden snap. Love perched on his shoulder. It didn't say anything, but it ran its beak through his hair, not disturbing the flowers. Above him, the universe watched. The adjustment was hard. It was not the phantom pains from a death too narrowly avoided. It was not the crown of roses that left a faint warmth across his brow, though it had no physical presence. It was not the way that he could see so much more now, or the feeling of the universe pressing down around him. It was not even the first time he held the hand of an old woman and walked her to the train station. It was doing it all alone. He kept turning to Kristen and finding nothing, and for a moment it all came crashing down again, as raw as the first morning he woke up without her. Despite the overabundance of new noise, everything felt so silent without her laugh. He wasn't entirely alone. Love stayed, and talked when the silence got too much, though it was always derisive and sardonic. Other crows came, too, in ones and twos, and not all of them lingered, but often they came back to visit. Kristen wrote to him, just as she'd promised, and he saved the letters, keeping them safe. Time passed. Phil got older, though he didn't look it. Eventually, he adjusted to the solitude, to the letters and the glimpses he got of Kristen from across the train tracks and the clouds of crows that trailed him. He moved from battlefield to battlefield, leading away the lost souls and carrying out mercy killings until even the mortals knew his title, toppling empires when he felt the nudging of the universe. War came easily, and he regretted sometimes that he was so good at killing when Kristen had always hated ending lives abruptly, but he was a tool of the universe now, not just hers. At least he could give them a moment to breathe before he sent them to the trains. He didn't much like getting to know people, though. Immortality was a mixed blessing, to say the least. Somehow, he still ended up with Wilbur. The boy was small when he found him, a baby left behind in a war zone, with a mess of tufty brown hair and a scrunchy pink face, and Phil picked him up and thought, oh, there you are. A soft recognition of sorts, though he'd never seen him before. Are you sure this is a good idea? Love asked, when he didn't leave the baby with someone else. No, Phil admitted. But he's mine now, and I'd rather love him while I've got him than miss that chance. A human lifetime is... it's a long time. He's loud, it whined. And he grabs my feathers. I'm sure you'll get used to it. Human babies are overrated, it declared. They scream, and it takes them so long to be able to do anything useful. Love fell silent as Wilbur babbled, reaching up one tiny hand to touch its feathers. But I suppose they are cute, it admitted grudgingly. Sometimes. Phil laughed softly and smoothed down Wilbur's wild hair. You like him, don't you? I do not! Come on, mate, Phil said, jostling Love lightly. Admit it. There's nothing to admit, Philza. You tell yourself that. Wilbur was a happy baby who grew into a happy child, forever laughing and singing, chasing the crows when they decided to play with him. Love tolerated him, eventually liked him when he was old enough not to pull so hard on its wings, although it never admitted it. Phil wrote about him in his letters to Kristen, and she seemed to love him too. It was the first time he'd really stayed in one place for long enough to love a mortal, and it was terrifying if he thought about it too long, so he didn't. When Wilbur was a little older, they started traveling again. Phil's duties didn't stop with his son, and besides, the wind was too much a part of him to ever let him settle. The universe led him to Antarctica, to a young man with bright pink hair and voices that whispered for blood and some odd clarity in his eyes, who saw the world just as Phil did. He wasn't sure why the universe had chosen him, but Technoblade was clever and powerful, and there was no one else Phil would have chosen to build an empire with. He fit into their small family easily, though he never really called it that, got along well with Wilbur and Love, and attached himself to Phil whenever they had to interact with anyone else. And Phil only had a little bit of a breakdown when he realized Technoblade was no older than 15. Techno was odd. Not a god, no matter what his title was, but certainly not quite ordinary either. He saw, the same as Phil, though he seemingly didn't understand Love when it spoke, and the world seemed to bend when he asked it to. Phil just shrugged it off. He'd spent a very long time getting used to oddities, himself included. Both of them were uniquely suited to killing fields, which was probably why they found themselves there so often. After one, when the battle had gone silent and the crows had started to disperse, Phil paused to sit and breathe. Techno raised an eyebrow at him, unbothered by the blood splattered across his face. not going to rush off this time? Phil shook his head, smiling. No, I'm not working today. The crows started to gather, swirling into a dark mass, tighter and tighter until light couldn't be seen between their wings. Then, as one, they dispersed, leaving a figure in their wake. Phil sprang to his feet and started to run, feet pounding on the uneven ground until they collided. Kristen laughed when he swept her off her feet, bright and warm, and she cupped his face for a moment. How are you here? He murmured. Thought I'd come pick these ones up myself, she said, and looked over his shoulder. Oh, hello? Hello, Techno said, shifting his weight awkwardly. I'm guessing you're Kristen. That would be me, she agreed. Phil never mentioned you were the literal personification of death. Phil choked and Kristen laughed. He does tend to leave that part out. You've sent quite a few people my way over the years. So I have, Techno said steadily. Kristen tilted her head, and in between blinks her eyes turned to galaxies again, swirling, and she and Techno studied each other for a long, long moment. Then she blinked again, and it was gone. Huh, she said. Techno arched an eyebrow. Huh? Interesting, she said. You're very... The universe loves you. Techno smiled and it was razor sharp. Not going to call me lucky? That remains to be seen, she pointed out. I have the feeling that I won't be seeing you for a long, long time. Whether that's good or bad... Of course you won't, Techno declared. Technoblade never dies. Kristen laughed but said nothing more. Instead, she turned back to Phil. I have to go now, she whispered, running her fingers through his hair. I love you. He rested their foreheads together for a moment and closed his eyes. Then he let go, and when he looked, she was gone. Huh, Techno said succinctly. You're not gonna ask? Techno considered it for a moment, then shrugged. Meh. Phil laughed and laughed and laughed. Wilbur left when he was 18, guitar slung over one shoulder and two of Phil's feathers tucked in his bag, grinning at Phil and waving him off when he asked if he'd be all right. Phil watched him leave with a familiar worry, but he was long since able to take care of himself, and besides, the crows were happy to carry letters. They liked to feel useful. He occupied himself with his duties and tried not to worry, since Wilbur wrote often, long and detailed letters, full of effusive enthusiasm and the same persuasive way with words he'd always had. Phil fretted when he talked about the dark turns his country had taken, but Techno offered to go and Wilbur had never liked his hovering, so he didn't go. The letters stopped eventually, and Phil forced himself to wait for a week, even as his crows brought worried whispers and news that made his heart stutter before he gave in. Wilbur was not well. There was a worrying, frantic tinge to his words, his movements, and Phil did his best to calm him, but the universe was watching, and there was a tugging in his hands that terrified him. He fought it for long enough to throw his wings around his son as the world exploded, and his voice was lost in the thunder as he screamed at the feeling of scorching feathers and burning flesh as the two vulnerable limbs were torn apart. But when the ringing stopped, Wilbur was still alive, and that was all that mattered. And then it was all for nothing, because there was a sword in his hands, and Wilbur was on his knees in the ashes. Phil opened his mouth to speak, and then the universe took his hands and yanked. They let him go after no more than moments, but by then it was too late for him to do anything but catch Wilbur as he fell. Wilbur's body was heavy in his arms, and his breath stuttered once, twice, and no more. Phil screamed. When he opened his eyes, Kristen was kneeling across from him, tears that shone like stars rolling down her cheeks, staring at him with such open heartbreak that his stomach twisted.
"Why?"
he screamed, and she flinched. "I'm so sorry," she breathed. "Phil, love, I am so, so sorry."
"Save him,"
he demanded through the tightness of his throat. "Like you did for me. Please."
"I can't," she whispered. "I broke the rules once and I can't do it again. The universe won't let me. His fate is here. There's nothing I could do. I wish I could. I promise, if there was anything..."
"You get one exception," he said, tears burning on his cheeks.
"Right? So save him and take me. Trade us. Let me die and let him live."
"I can't, Phil," she said raggedly. "The universe wants him to die here."
"Fuck the universe!"
They both fell silent, and Phil bowed his head, rested it against Wilbur's chest just above the gaping wound, stroked his hair with one hand. He opened his eyes, and Kristen held her hand over the oozing blood. Slowly, light trickled up until she was holding a miniature sun in her palms. Wilbur, or all that was left of him. She held it to her chest, tenderly, carefully, and leaned across to kiss Phil's forehead. And then they were gone, and Phil was holding a cooling body, and he didn't care anymore, because what did the world matter when his son was gone? He blinked, and 2 days had slid by in a dizzying blur, and he was lying in the dirt, and his whole body was aching, and... oh, his wings were never going to get better, were they? He had tried to fly, tried to find a way to breathe and come crashing back to earth when his wings had utterly failed to support him. The feathers were too tattered, the muscles too damaged, patchy with burns. Useless.
"It's not fair," he whispered. Then, louder, "It's not fair!"
He was crying, and he hadn't noticed when he started, but his breath came in shuddering gasps, and his wings... There was a rustling of feathers and a weight on his chest. Love settled, folding its wings against its body, for once arriving without a sarcastic comment. "You should come inside," it said quietly. He didn't respond. For a moment, there was quiet. "I lost my wings and Wilbur still died," he rasped, throat raw from screaming. He'd been doing a lot of it the past few days. Love cooed. "It wasn't your fault." "My hands." It clacked its beak, shuffling its wings. "Filza, you really shouldn't stay out here. It's nearly dark." "Don't care." Love sighed. "Guess I'll keep watch," it muttered. "Don't expect me to fight off mobs for you, though." Phil closed his eyes and drifted. He wasn't sure whether he was asleep or awake when he next opened his eyes to find the sky gone purple and swirling, just like it had millennia ago when he'd nearly died. Love had its head tipped back to stare, wings spread across his chest like a blanket. "He's right, you know," it said. "It's not fair." A gust of wind sighed through the trees.
"Filza made his choice, love. He didn't have to lose his wings."
"He saved his son, only for the boy to die anyway," it snapped. "What justice is that?"
Are we meant to be kind?
You're meant to be fair.
Love's voice was sharper than he'd ever heard it, impassioned and furious.
He is a good angel and a good man, and you have never given him anything but misery, even as he carries out your will without question or complaint.
There was a discontented grumble of thunder.
What do you want us to do, love?
Give him his wings back,
it demanded immediately.
I won't ask you for the boy, but at least give him his wings.
Do you not know the meaning of balance?
The universe asked.
We cannot give something so monumental without taking something in return.
Love ruffled its feathers, then resigned. I am prepared to pay that price.
Why should we allow that?
Lady Death made him her exception. Now I am making him mine too. The sky pulsed purple, blue, gold, the universe pressing in on them.
You think you have an exception to spend?
Of course I do. In all the time we've both existed, I have not asked you for mercy, no matter how I wanted it.
If death has earned the chance to give up something precious for a gift of equal value, then so have I.
Death is our daughter,
the universe said flatly.
You are just a crow.
Don't pretend. Besides, you think I'm funny.
The wind whistled across the plains, harsh and unforgiving, but Phil didn't feel the cold.
Why him?
The question was simple, calm, without emotion.
What is it about this one man that makes you and Kristen both so willing to sacrifice?
Love cawed softly and considered it.
I have spent Miliana at his side, it said eventually. To lose his son and his wings all at once, that would break him, and that is something I cannot stand. If it means I lose something instead, so be it.
But why?
Love ran its beak through Phil's hair.
Filza is my friend, it said simply. That's enough.
Silence.
The trade will be permitted,
the universe said at last.
You cannot take it back if you regret it.
I won't.
Then it will be so.
The sky went dark, and Phil blinked, murmuring something wordless. Love hopped forward so it could tuck its head under his chin.
Sleep, Philza, it said. It'll be all right.
Phil slept. He woke when the sun was just beginning to peek over the horizon and waited for the moment of realization where his wings ached as fiercely as they had right after and the feeling of being grounded settled a heavy weight in his chest. And waited and waited. What? He sat up, ignoring Love's disgruntled chirps as it was dislodged, and spread his wings out, curving them forward so he could see them. They looked fine, glossy and healthy, without any of the cracked feathers or ruined patches, free from pain or injury. He stood hurriedly and beat his wings once, twice. They felt just as they had before everything, and he didn't fly, but he knew he could. Am I dreaming? He muttered. No, Love said, from where it was still sitting on the ground. You're not. He turned. This isn't possible. Unless the universe allows it, Love said. Phil stared at it, memory filtering back through a haze, and said, You made a deal. Yes. What? Phil swallowed back nausea. What was the cost? Love couldn't smile knowingly, but the way it tilted its head was close enough. Something of my own, of equal value. He stared at it. At the way it was still sitting on the ground, its wings folded close to its body. My wings for yours, it finished, and Phil sat heavily. Love hopped over to him awkwardly until it was perched on his knee, and it allowed him to spread its wings with gentle hands, look over the ruined limbs and broken feathers, evidence of an explosion it hadn't been there for. You're not... you can't... Phil took a shuddering breath.
Why?
Because it wasn't fair.
This isn't fair. It's not... you shouldn't have to lose your wings for something I did love. That's not...
I loved him too, Love interrupted. If I had been in your place, I would have given up my wings every time. And I chose this, Philza. I knew what it would mean, and I still did it. You can't get to death like this, Phil said numbly. To visit Kristen, you have to fly. I didn't often anyway, it reasoned. I stay with you, always. You have others to carry letters. And when you go to her, when the universe is satisfied, I will come with you. Phil pressed a hand to his eyes. I have an excuse to sit on your shoulder more often now, Love pointed out cheerfully. I can make the others get out of my way. Lazy, Phil choked out, with the faintest hint of a smile. Maybe a little. It stretched up, rubbing its beak against his chin, and he took a steadying breath before he stood, holding Love carefully to his chest. Eventually, things got easier. Phil remembered how to breathe, and Love adjusted to being only able to glide short distances. He sewed thicker fabric into the shoulders of his tunics so Love could get a grip even with its inconsistent balance. He flew again, eventually without the stinging guilt, and carried Love when he did. The other crows stopped squabbling over the right to sit on his shoulder and settled for sitting on his hat or his arms instead. Everything was different, and sometimes Phil still couldn't breathe with the weight of it, but they managed.
Time passed. Countries fell, rose, fell again. Phil loved and lost. He'd long since lost track of how long it had been, since he hadn't died, since Wilbur, since anything. He carried uncountable souls to the train station, held their hands and promised them it'd be all right, written so many letters to Kristen that the first ones he'd ever received had crumbled into dust. He toppled empires and built them, let the universe guide his blade even against those who he would have spared. "How long are you going to make me do this?" he demanded to the silent sky, standing in an old battleground, blood soaked into the mud beneath his boots long ago. You promised us forever, someday, if my work was good and I did what you wanted. I have, and it is. How long will it take? The sky flared in answer, purple and black and gold, and he staggered with the weight of it for a moment before he steadied.
Angel.
The universe said, voice flat with displeasure, and he realized distantly that they had never spoken to him directly before.
What are you asking for?
You made Kristen a promise, he said. If we did as you wished, then someday I'd get to go home. We have. Even you have to admit that.
And?
So give us what you promised, Phil shouted. Haven't I done enough for you?
Defiance doesn't suit you, Angel.
Neither does deference to an uncaring master. I do what I must.
Are you suggesting we don't care?
About me?
You don't, Phil said, with a laugh that was more than half bitterness.
Of course you don't. I'm something you never planned for. Kristen and Love, you care about. Me, you'd rather see me dead when I was supposed to be. But you made a promise.
We never said when you would be allowed to go.
I have more than paid my debts, he yelled. I have been your hand for more than long enough to balance your mercy. I have paid for my exceptions 1,000 times over. Is it not enough?
For a moment, the universe was silent.
What makes you special?
They asked eventually.
What makes you so deserving of exceptions again and again?
I'm not special, he said. I'm just a guy who was lucky enough to be loved by the people you'll bend for. And this isn't an exception. This is justice.
The sky pulsed, and there was a dim humming that set his teeth on edge, rising and rising before, abruptly, it vanished.
Go to the station, the universe said. Get on the first train. It will take you home.
Phil took a long breath. His sword thunked against the dirt. Okay, he said, and between one blink and the next, the sky was flat and black again. He found love first, where it was waiting, and it cooed in excitement. It's time? It's time, he confirmed, and headed to the train station. Kristen stood on the other side of the tracks, and she smiled at him for a moment before the train arrived with a roar blocking his view. The doors slid open, and Phil stepped inside. The end. Thank you for listening. My computer is... Oh my holy fuck, that was such clutch timing. My phone is literally like on 10%. I use my phone to record. And I'm looking at my computer and literally, as I was about to say, my computer is on like whatever battery, it died. Literally as I was fucking saying that 2 seconds after I finished reading the fic. Holy shit.